You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following pre-recorded program is sponsored by the International Lutheran Layman's League.
Yes, sir. May I help you?
I'm here to see Mr. Alan Barton.
Your name, please?
Stevenson. Paul Stevenson, with Profile Magazine.
Oh, thank you. Mr. Paul Stevenson to see Mr. Barton. Right. Here's your pass, sir. Please wear it visibly while inside the gate. Have you been here before?
No, I haven't.
Well, proceed straight ahead, about a half a mile. Park in front of the Central Services building.
Uh-huh.
Be sure to check with the receptionist in the lobby.
Thanks. Alan J. Barton. Petroleum engineer, successful executive. He's lived all over the world. Has been at present location for 1 year. And he turned his back on a good friend of mine and left him to die.
Hello there. This is Oswald Hoffman. I'd like you to listen to our special Easter program. This drama, a true-to-life story, shows how people can sometimes get their lives all mixed up. The good news of Easter tells us how their lives can be put together again. I'll be back in just about 15 minutes or so to tell you what all of this has to do with Easter.
Margie?
Yes, Mr. Barton?
Would you pull the latest drilling reports from the Newcastle field and send them in?
Right away, Mr. Barton.
Excuse me, I'm Paul Stevenson. I'm here to see Mr. Barton.
Yes, sir. Someone will be with you in a moment.
It's quite a place you have here.
Yes, I suppose it really is one of a kind.
Mr. Stevenson?
Yes. Mr. Barton will see you now. This way, please.
I'm looking forward to meeting Mr. Barton.
He's quite a man. You do understand, Mr. Stevenson, that you'll have to limit your interview to a few minutes.
Whatever you say.
Yes, who is it?
Mr. Paul Stevenson from Profile Magazine to see you, Mr. Barton.
Oh, yes. Come in.
I'll be back shortly.
Margie, hold all my calls, will you, please?
Yes, Mr. Barton.
Sit down, Stevenson. What can I do for you?
Well, I'm doing a story on Peter Davis. I understand you knew him.
Davis? Peter Davis. Have a cigar?
No, thanks.
Davis. Oh, yes, Peter and Barbara. He was that missionary fellow. We met while I was overseas on that oil contract.
I believe you lived in the same apartment building.
Yes, awful place. All I could get on a temporary basis, though. It was supposed to be in a safe area. Supposed to be. The Davises lived on the floor below me. Nice couple. Not very sensible, but nice.
Mr. Barton, could you tell me what happened on the last day you saw Peter and Barbara Davis?
Well, I can try. Seems like it was about 18 months ago. It sounded like the 4th of July in the streets, except it wasn't a celebration. It was a deadly business. If our building hadn't had an inside stairwell, we couldn't have gone outside our own apartment during those days. The morning of the last day I saw the Davises, I'd gone down to their apartment to bum a cup of coffee. We were the only Americans left in the building.
Come in. Mr. Barton.
Can you spare a cup of coffee for a guy about to go into a caffeine coma?
We might round one up. Crawl on over and join us.
It's a hell of a note when you... Oops, pardon me. A heck of a note when you can't get outside your own apartment building for 3 days.
Why do people always apologize when they swear in front of our missionary?
Conditioned reflex, I guess. Thanks. Coffee's good. You make it, Peter?
That's Barb's department. Any news?
Not a lot. Pick the news source you like to see if your side's winning. Everybody has their own version.
What about a ceasefire?
Nobody's talking about one.
Oh. Wow, Eddie, tank rocket. It must have hit right above us.
Oh, why are they shooting at our building?
Sniper on the roof, maybe. Who knows? What a place. Electricity and phone both knocked out. Civil war in the streets. People killing each other for God knows why. First chance. This guy's leaving here and never coming back. Never. I hope you've got a bag packed.
As a matter of fact, we don't, Mr. Barton.
Well, you better get busy and pack one.
We've talked about it quite a bit, and I think we're going to try and stay.
Come on, this place is a death trap. It's suicide to hang around here. You can get killed just sitting here in your own apartment.
Peter, I think I should go upstairs to see if anyone was hurt.
That guy who lives next to me, what's his name? He's a doctor. He can take care of it.
That guy who lives next to you, Mr. Barton, is named Assam. Yes, he could take care of it. Unless he's the one who needs help. Peter?
Stay low, honey.
I promise. I'll bang on the pipes if we need you.
Okay.
Pete, listen to me. Everyone I know is getting out of this place. Contractors, missionaries, businessmen, everyone. Most of them are already gone. If they ever get some trucks in here under a white flag, the Red Cross, or whatever they can find, you're not going to have time to think about what to do. You're going to have to get out. Quick!
Mr. Barton, this may sound a little crazy to you, but Barb and I came here 5 years ago to tell people about Jesus Christ and to help them discover a new life in Him. Our mission has left it up to us whether or not we stay, and if we had our own children to think of, it might be different. But right now, we believe that God wants us to stay here.
That doesn't make sense, Pete. You're going to put your life on the line for a bunch of people who could care less about you or your God. There's a war going on out there. People are being killed. That scares me.
That scares me, too. More than I've ever been scared before. But even when I'm most afraid, I think of some words that Jesus said. Whoever tries to gain his own life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will gain it.
That may sound nice in church, Pete, but it doesn't work out here. Not when the other guys use real bullets.
Mr. Barton, if what Jesus said doesn't work out here, it won't work anywhere. Christ didn't try to save his life. He gave it up for us.
Don't be a fool. You talk like a man who wants to die.
I'm not trying to commit suicide by staying here. I want to live. I want my wife to live, too. But I want to live life the way God intended it to be. Losing your life doesn't always mean dying. Sometimes giving your life away means sharing it with other people while you're alive. And just being alive doesn't necessarily mean you're really living.
Yeah? Well, go ahead and lose your life. I plan to hang on to mine just as long as I can.
Barb needs some help. I'll be back.
That's your show, not mine. Stay low. Now, Stevenson, do you know what I mean when I say that the Davises were nice, but not very sensible? You don't save anything, especially your life, by giving it away. Excuse me. Margie?
Yes, Mr. Barton?
Make sure those figures for the Transcam financial report are sent to the auditor today.
Right away, Mr. Barton.
Was that the last time you saw Peter Davis that day?
No. Late that afternoon, I heard sirens in the distance. I crawled close enough to my window to make out two military-type trucks with red crosses on them coming down the narrow street. For some unknown reason, those lunatics out there hadn't blown them apart yet. I grabbed my bag and rushed down the stairs to Pete and Barbara's apartment. Pete, do you hear that? The Red Cross trucks are heading this way.
Can they get through?
They made it. They got in. I'm going down to check. Get your things ready.
Well?
Well, what? We already decided, didn't we?
I guess so. I know we should stay, but I... Oh, Peter, I'm so scared. Hold me, please. Pray for us, Peter. Right now.
Father, just when we think we know what you want us to do, we get scared. We think about what it may cost to do your work in this place. Lord, we believe you want us to stay. Give us the strength to be your people here and tell others about your love. Thank you.
through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
We've got 2 minutes to get down there. Grab what you need.
We're not going, Mr. Barton.
Don't be a fool, Pete. Come on.
They started firing again. I'd better pull the curtain.
2 minutes, Pete.
Barbara!
Oh, my God.
It's okay, Barb. You're going to be all right. Here, put this under your head.
Oh, Peter. My leg.
Oh, trucks are leaving.
My leg.
Give me a hand. It's okay, sweetheart.
The trucks. Oh. The trucks. I've got to get down there.
Oh, Peter.
Go up and get the doctor. Get us some.
For God's sake, Pete, don't you understand? I've got to get myself out of here.
Hurry, please. Get us some.
Get it yourself. I tried to tell you, I'm getting out. I'm going to save my own life. You save yours.
And that's the last time you saw Peter Davis.
That was it. I lay on the floor of that truck knowing that the next second we might go up in a ball of fire. But somehow we made it.
And you never wondered what happened after you left?
No, I thought about it a few times, but I came back here, and they were there, and no way to get in touch. After a while, I guess I just forgot it.
After you left, Mr. Barton, the shooting in the streets went on through the night. Pete ran upstairs and got us some. They came back and moved Barbara into the bedroom. All they had for light were a couple of candles and a flashlight. It wasn't the best place in the world to examine a wound, but it didn't take us on long.
It's okay, honey. You're going to be all right. Just relax and try to get some rest.
Peter.
I'll be right back.
How is she? Peter, there is no pulse in her foot or behind her knee. The color of her leg is not good. It is possible that the femoral artery and the nerve have been severed.
Which means?
I don't know for sure. 6 hours, perhaps a little longer. Even if I could get her to a hospital, I might... I'm sorry. I'm not able to do anything here. When she speaks, some things will not make any sense. At other times, she may be very normal and coherent. There is nothing more I can do. I am sorry, Peter.
Thank you, Assam. Thank you.
I will lie down in the living room if you need me.
Right here, sweetheart. It's all right.
I feel funny, Peter. I feel like I want...
It's okay, hon.
Oh, it was right for us to stay. Even if I know it was right. God knows it was right. God knows. Oh, I just want to go to sleep.
Yes. Get some rest. Barbara? Honey? Oh, Father in heaven, please help me. God of love, help me. Please.
I never really knew what happened. How did you find out?
Pete and Barbara Davis were classmates of mine in college. Barbara's body was returned to the States for the funeral. Pete told me then.
I tried to tell them.
Pete's gone back overseas now.
A real waste. A young thing like her. Foolish. Never would have happened if they'd left like I told them. Losing her life like that. All for nothing.
Are you sure she's the one who lost it?
I'm afraid your time's up, Mr. Stevenson.
Stevenson, if you already knew more about the story than I did, why did you waste my time with this interview?
I guess I wanted to be sure all the angles had been covered, Mr. Barton.
I insist on reading and approving any story you write before it's released.
You'll get a copy, sir.
Margie?
Yes, sir.
I'll take any incoming calls now.
Yes, sir.
Oh, and Margie?
Yes, Mr. Barton.
Any mail for me today?
No, sir. I'm sorry. None today.
None again today.
I'll be back shortly, Mr. Barton.
Yes, of course. Goodbye, Mr. Stevenson.
Thanks for your time, Mr. Barton.
Follow me, please, Mr. Stevenson. This is the quickest way out.
By the way, I never did get your name.
I'm Dr. Stanley, Dr. Tom Stanley.
How many others like Mr. Barton do you have here?
None, just like Mr. Barton. But we do have about 25 other residents here, all of them living in a world of their own, completely removed from reality.
Yeah.
Admittedly, we serve those whose families can afford this facility, and of course you can see that it's much nicer than the state hospital.
Oh, much nicer. What about Barton's intercom and Margie?
Oh, that. Our receptionist has the other intercom. As long as there's someone there to answer with, "Yes, Mr. Barton," it seems to keep him satisfied. Since he can't face the real world any longer, we try to provide one in which he can function and be comfortable.
What made Barton crack? Why did he end up like this?
That's hard to say. From the reports we've received, it seems to be mostly guilt. Barton ran roughshod over a lot of people during his lifetime. He took what he wanted, when he wanted. He covers it up on the outside, acts tough. But it caught up with him on the inside. As long as he lives in a world of make-believe, he doesn't have to face what he's done to others and to himself.
How long do you expect him to be in this condition?
We're not a rehabilitation center, Mr. Stevenson. We view our residents as more or less permanent. The parking lot is right through these doors, so I'll be leaving you here.
Are you sure he doesn't know?
Know what, Mr. Stevenson?
Well, are you sure he doesn't know where he is?
To be perfectly honest, I think he knows exactly where he is. I think he's known since the day his children dropped him off here. But I can't be responsible for what he does or doesn't know. All we can do for him is to try to make life comfortable and pleasant for him.
Thank you, Dr. Stanley, for the visit.
You're quite welcome. Come again anytime. And I'm sure Mr. Barton appreciated it. You're the first visitor he's had.
You have been listening to Save It, Lose It, a special Easter presentation of the International Lutheran Layman's League. And now, here is Dr. Oswald Hoffman.
Said missionary Peter Davis in the drama you just heard, "When I am most afraid, I think of the words of Jesus, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." That line appears 6 times in the New Testament. It was important to Jesus, and it is important to us. Jesus Christ himself commented on that statement of his, quoted by Peter Davis, "What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul, his life, everything? Only life counts," said Jesus Christ. Not mere living, but only real life. Real life, as it is offered by Jesus Christ, takes the worst and turns it into the best. By the same token, mere living without real life takes the best and turns it into the worst. That's the story of Alan Barton, who saved his life only to lose it. That is what Jesus Christ was always saying. That's what he said to Martha the day he met her after her brother died. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" A medical doctor told a young friend of mine in the ministry that he would just as soon not hear anything more about death in this young man's sermons. "It doesn't move people in our time," said the doctor. "Personally, it does not stir me." 8 months later, this same medical man sat in mute agony at his home, just having returned from the funeral of his attractive, talented wife who had succumbed to an incurable disease. The doctor had fought back with all the knowledge and skill he had, to no avail. Death did not retreat. Other doctors were flown in from other cities, but nothing seemed to help. Finally, late one night, death walked into the somber hospital room and made off with the sparkling life of this man's lovely wife. the final and conclusive fact of life would have to be death, only death. If it were not for one heroic figure in our own history, Jesus Christ, and for one great fact of history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. If it were not for Christ, none of us would have anything to look forward to except the worst. How can you face the day with courage when the only thing you have to look forward to tomorrow is the worst? Facing the worst, Jesus Christ stood all alone. Triumphing over the worst, he did it all alone. Here Christ stands all alone. There have been great men and notable prophets in history, but Christ alone has the power and the authority to proclaim what he did. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. The majestic declaration of Jesus Christ, characteristic of him alone, has lifted up bowed heads and healed broken hearts down through the ages. It has given people the courage to act with faith and love because they know him and the power of his resurrection. If only you had been here, Lord, said Martha. My brother would never have died. I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask of him. Your brother will rise again, Jesus replied to her. I know, said Martha, preoccupied with her own grief, that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Then came the declaration, the proclamation, the manifesto to set every person free from the pestilence that strikes at noonday. I am the resurrection and the life. Some people have said that God is dead. Others operate on the principle that God is not necessary. Still others feel that God does not care. All are overcome at the very thought, not to speak about the fact, of death. Peter Davis and many others like him have believed. They have answered the question of Jesus Christ, do you believe this? I am the resurrection and the life. They believe. And believing have life in his name. It is the way of resurrection. Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead. He died for our sins and rose from the dead that we might stand forgiven and full of hope in the presence of God himself. It is great to be forgiven. And even greater to live in the love of the Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our own Father, too, by faith in Jesus Christ. This is the way to live, with faith and without fear. It's the only real life there is. Though you die, you will live by faith in Jesus Christ. Death does not get in the way of anyone who is in Christ. Those people take death in stride. Death is an obstacle to be overcome, an enemy to be faced. Those in Christ take it in stride, the long stride of the man in Christ. Anyone who believes in me will live though he dies, and anyone who is alive and believes in me will never die at all. My friend, Jesus Christ asks you, do you believe? Can you believe that he is the life, unfolding the secret and giving the power to live as life was meant to be lived, and to enjoy life as he means it to be enjoyed? Martha's answer, like the answer of Peter Davis and his wife, was, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who was to come. Having him, they were satisfied. With him, believe it or not, the worst becomes the best. He is the Christ, the Son of God, the one who was to come into the world. He is the resurrection and the life. In him is life, which is life indeed. Whoever lives and believes in him shall never die. It is his promise to all who believe. It is his promise to you. The moment of truth has come, my friend. Do you believe? Believe in him and have life in his name.
Amen.
An Easter song sung by the singers of Joy Incorporated of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Our special Easter presentation, Save It, Lose It, continues with an Easter chant by the Celebrate the Spirit singers of Concordia Teachers College, Seward, Nebraska.
In the singing of the bird, and gentle in the reconciling comfort of his word. Jesus, 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 the Son of our God has risen, so let his kingdom come. The Son of our God has risen, so let his kingdom come. Prisoner of sin, and lovingly he frees his soul, eternal life begins. Jesus, 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 the Son of our God has risen, so let his kingdom come. The Son of our God has risen, so let his kingdom come. And happy in the joyful chorus that our lips repeat. Jesus, 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 the Son of our God has risen, so let his kingdom come. The Son of our God has risen, so let his kingdom come. The Son of our God has risen, so let his kingdom come.
For the past 30 minutes, you have been listening to Save It, Lose It, a special Easter presentation of the International Lutheran Layman's League.